is a joy to be back at the old Kentucky camp. And we've been coming for a few years. It's a good place to come to. Amen. We appreciate Brother Duncan and all the folks here. You won't find more hospitality than what you find right here at the old Kentucky camp meeting. I'm not taking away from anywhere else. Folks do well. But I'm just talking about it. It's just something here. Everybody seems to have that gift of hospitality. Isn't that something? Amen. Well, we have some new prayer cards. I give a few out. One good friend of mine said, yeah, that's a good card, Brother Shunk. I'll put that in my garden. It'll keep the crows out. Another one said he's going to put it in his kitchen to keep the bugs out. So, but anyway, if you're interested, we've got some prayer cards. And the one side of it looks pretty good. The other side you'll have to put up with. But anyway, we'd like you to take one, pray for us. Look with me in two places. Well, really, three places. Look in the book of Genesis, chapter 50. I'm going to be in Genesis, chapter 50. Then I'm going to refer to a place in Exodus 13 and another place in Joshua 24. Genesis, chapter 50. I want to read from verse 22. Joshua 50 and verse 22. I mean, Genesis 50, verse 22. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him. And he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Father, we do thank you for the privilege we have to be back at the old Kentucky camp meeting. And Lord, we thank you for your presence that we've already felt in the fellowship throughout the day, the good meal that we've enjoyed, the good singing that we've heard. I pray, God, that you'd cleanse me and help me. Lord, I want to be a blessing to these your people. But Lord, no doubt that in a crowd this size, a congregation this size, that there might be one here unsettled about eternity. I pray, God, that you trouble the waters in their life, that before this week's out, we might see some come to trust you. Help us now. Bless Brother Duncan and give him much discernment, much wisdom over the meeting, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Much that we could try to talk about. What I'm wanting to focus on is what we look at here in verse 25, where it says, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now you know the story here, what we're looking at. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt for some 430 years. Now, Joseph was just a young man when he was first down in the land of Egypt. And God had put that thing all together. I don't want to run too far ahead of myself in the message, but God had put that thing all together for Joseph to be second in command over all the land of Egypt. Now, Joseph's he's up in years now. He's 110 years old. His time's gone. He knows the Lord's fixing to take him out of here. So he explicitly tells the children of Israel, he says, I'm going to die. He said, but listen, don't bury me in Egypt. Do not bury me in Egypt. So when he died, they embalmed his body and they placed his body in a coffin, but they did not bury him there in the land of Egypt. Now, what we're looking at, I'm speculating on time, okay? We figure out that they were in bondage some 430 years. I don't know exactly how old Joseph was when he first went down into Egypt. So we're still, if you'll give me a little bit of liberty, we're looking at maybe a period of 350 years or so that Joseph's bones laid in that coffin without ever being buried. They placed his body in a coffin, but they never buried him in the land of Egypt. Now, can you imagine every generation coming up and saying, why are we still looking at that box of bones? Why are we still carrying around this box of bones? Why haven't we buried Joseph in the land of Egypt? Well, it pictures several things. Just by means of a little bit of introduction, that the Bible speaks about in the Gospels where our Lord talked about the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious crowd. And he said about them that they were like whited sepulchers, all clean and polished on the outside, but inwardly they were full of dead men's bones. They were caught up in a works religion. Oh, they were zealous. They cleaned the outside. They dotted every I, crossed every T. All these kind of things had an outward righteousness, but inside they were full of dead men's bones. Boy, I know a lot of folks that they're careful about the outside. Boy, they clean and polish the outside. But hey, inwardly they're full of dead men's bones, caught up in a works religion. But sadly, those Pharisees were not only caught up in a works religion, they were satisfied with a works religion. They didn't want anything else. They didn't want something different. They were satisfied with their works religion. There's a lot of folks, they're satisfied with what they have, although what they have gives them no peace. There's no assurance. There's been no deliverance, but yet they're satisfied with what they've got. But now, the worst thing about those Pharisees was they were envious of those that did have the real thing. Amen. Hey, folks caught up in a works religion, they can be mean-spirited people. And they're envious of those, critical of those that do have the real thing. You know, there's folks that'll criticize you for coming to this meeting this week. Amen. Hey, they're critical of those that have the real thing. But now what we're talking about is how they kept those sepulchers clean and polished. No doubt they kept Joseph's coffin clean and polished, carried it around all these years. Can you imagine how that every generation would come up and would be puzzled, perplexed, while they're still looking at that box of bones? Well, it's kind of like this. It pictures for you and I how these folks wonder about us, how that we're still sticking with the old stuff. Amen. How we're still walking in the old paths. Hey, they say, don't you know, preacher, there's a new and better way to do things? Amen. Hey, why are you still walking in them old ways? Why are you still toting a King James Bible? Why are you still singing out of a song book? Amen. Hey, why are you still walking in them old paths? I like that song, sticking with the old stuff. Amen. Hey, the Tacketts do that, sticking with the old stuff. Hey, I don't need no newfangled ways. They can wonder all they want to, but I'm going to stick with the old stuff. Now, really what I want to preach about is Joseph's bones, this box of bones. Joseph's bones testify of at least four different things. Now, you can probably think of a bunch of things. I'm just going to give you four if I get to all four of them. Amen. When you think about Joseph's bones, first of all, they do testify to the brevity and shortness of life. Yes, sir. Joseph said, I die. Hey, do you know, for some unknown reason, we think death is always that which happens to somebody else. Amen. Now, you was all with me a minute ago. Don't lose me on this. Amen. Hey, the reality is something's going to get you. Something's going to take you out of here. Amen. Hey, death is hunting you down. Joseph says, I die. Hey, you don't have to have cancer. It's sad every time I hear of someone that has cancer. You don't have to have a heart attack. You don't have to have a stroke. You don't have to be in an automobile accident. Hey, something's going to take you out of here. Did not David say when he talked with Joseph, he said, there's but a step between me, with Jonathan, there's but a step between me and death. Did not, when Korah and all that bunch raised up against Moses, and when Moses said to the children of Israel, you need to separate yourselves from this bunch. And he talked about if these men should die the common death. What I'm trying to bring out is that death is common to every one of us. Something's going to take you out of here. Amen. Hey, something's going to take you out. The old death angel's on your trail. I was out in Kansas and Nebraska and got a telephone call from my brother. Told me my sister, just 63 years old, had gone in the hospital. My older sister. I can remember when I thought 63 was old. I don't think that way anymore. Huh? But hey, she went in the hospital with nothing life-threatening. He called me at the latter part of the week and told me that she had developed a blood clot in her leg that went to her heart. She died just 63 years old. You say, well, I'm not 63 yet. A lady in our church, she would greet folks at the door. All the kids loved her. Had quite a testimony. Just 42 years old, laying in bed next to her husband, laying on her face, began to gurgle in the early hours of the morning. He turned her over, blood coming out of her mouth. He tried to begin CPR, same time dialing 911. She died in his arms, just 42 years old, a brain aneurysm. A brain aneurysm. Hey, we were in a meeting in Churchill, Tennessee, and Monday night, they came into church heavy-hearted. A 16-year-old boy in the community just got his driver's license, had his grandfather's little pickup truck, going about those windy roads, unfamiliar with driving, unfamiliar with the road, possibly going too fast, left the road, hit a tree, went out into eternity, just 16 years old. I was in Memphis, Tennessee, preaching a meeting, and seven young people between the ages of 13 and 15. One of them stole his daddy's car in the early hours of the night, picked up six of his friends, went joyriding outside of Millington, Tennessee, unfamiliar with driving, the blackness of the night, going too fast, hit a curve, didn't know it that was there, the car went airborne, hit a tree, all seven young people went out into eternity. What are you saying? Something's going to take you out of here. These bones testify of the shortness and brevity of life. Hey, there's one thing you need to make certain of, and that is that you're ready for eternity. Amen. Your plans ought to include, where will you be for all eternity? Because it's already written, something's going to take you out of here. Amen. Well, Joseph's bones testify of the brevity of life. But then secondly, they also testify to the trials of life. We're talking about Joseph. Amen. If you know anything about Joseph, His life was one trial right after another. One perplexing situation right after another. You think about this young man, he loved God. God gave him a dream, and all he did was share the word of God that God had given him with his brothers, and his brothers envied him and hated him. God gave it to him a second time. I'm trying to tell you something here. Folks aren't going to pat you on the back just because you've got something from God. Amen. Hey, God gave it to him a second time. This time, it was not only his brothers, but also Jacob and Leah bowing down before him. Boy, if they could have, they'd have killed him. His father sent him out to where his brothers were, and they would have killed him, but Reuben stayed their hands. And they put him down in the pit. What had he done? Just he had told them what God had given him. They put him down in the pit. You say, well, if he'd have been living right, how much more right could he have been? Amen. He was telling them what God had given him. Hey, they put him down in the pit. From the pit, he's sold into slavery in Potiphar's house. In Potiphar's house, he's wrongly accused. He ends up in prison. In prison, he interprets the butler's dream and the baker's dream. The butler's restored to his position. And, the baker's taken out and hung. You know the story. But, hey, that butler, now Joseph told him, when you come before Pharaoh, remember me. Boy, I can see that butler saying, don't you worry about it, son. Boy, just about when I get before Pharaoh, I'm going to tell him all about you. Can't you see hope building up within Joseph sitting in that prison? Boy, the expectation that just any time they were going to come let him out. Are you listening to me? Hey, one day passed, 1 week passed, 1 month passed, 1 year passed. It's some 2 years later, before Joseph's brought up before Pharaoh. Are you listening? Hey, it was one trial right after another. Now, do not misunderstand me. The best life you can live is the Christian life. The best walk you can have is with the Savior. Amen. Hey, lost folk go through perplexing times. They go through difficult situations. They're hard pressed at times. The difference is they don't have a Savior. They don't have a Comforter. They don't have someone who is a refuge and strength for them, a very present help in trouble. Amen. Hey, our God is a refuge and strength. Amen. When we're going through the trial, and there's the key word, through the trial. When we're going through the trial, God is our refuge and strength. Amen. But there will be trials in your life, hard times, perplexing times. I'll give you another illustration. The Bible talks about Elijah the Tishbite. When Elijah came on the scene, he was a nobody. They announced him Elijah the Tishbite. And everybody goes, so? Huh? Hey, but he gave them the word of God that God was going to judge, that God was going to hold back the rain. Now, he had minded God. He's in the perfect will of God, right in the center of where he should be. God sent him down to the brook. Now, you would think everything would pick up for Elijah. But just the opposite happened. As he sat there by the brook, every day it got harder. Every day he saw the brook receding. Every day he saw the waters drying up. But the good news is, every morning and every evening, the ravens would flight him in. Bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. When they'd swoop down and drop that, I believe they were saying to Elijah, God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. Hey, there will be perplexing times, but I'm here to tell you God is faithful. Amen. Amen. Well, I got ahead of myself. They testify of the shortness of life. They testify to the trials of life. No doubt if we wanted to, every one of us could focus upon the situation that we're in, the trials that we're going through. That's why camp meeting's so important. That's why this meeting's so important. It'll help you to get away from your trials, even if it's just for a little while, amen? But now also, those bones do testify to the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. I was talking about Elijah. Can't you see him there by the brook? But now, when that brook finally did dry up, God spoke to him and said, okay, now, Elijah, it's time to head over there to Zarephath. There'll be a Gentile widow woman that's going to take care of you over there. Oh, I believe, oh, Elijah jumped up and said, boy, it's about time things changed. He probably imagined she's got to be one of them rich Gentile widow women. Surely God wouldn't send me to anywhere but a rich Gentile widow woman. No doubt he'd heard about some of them. And as he made his journey, every place he come to, he'd see that big mansion on the hill and say, oh, I wonder if she lives there. And he'd walk on a little bit and say, boy, I wonder if she lives there. He'd come to another place. Surely that's where she must live. And after he got over there, God pointed her out. Little old widow woman out gathering two sticks. Elijah, God says, Elijah, there she is. And Elijah says, oh, no. Isn't that how we are? Hey, but listen now. There's much to learn from that widow woman. Amen. Hey, she noted that he was the man of God. And he, in the conversation, he told her, bake me first a cake. She baked that cake, scraped that barrel, baked that cake, carried that to the man of God. She went back to that empty barrel, and much to her amazement, she scraped enough for one more cake. Tipped that cruise, enough oil for one more cake. Baked that and carried it to her son. Went back to a twice empty barrel, and lo and behold, there was just enough for one more cake. Tipped that cruise, there was just enough for one more cake. Hey, the Bible says that all the remaining days of no rain, there was always just enough, always just enough, always just enough, always just enough, always just enough. God, he is faithful. God, he is faithful. God, he is faithful. Amen. Amen. Hey, God is faithful. You think about old Joseph. Hey, here, I'll just have to refer them to other places because we're running out of time. But they put his bones in that coffin. And this generation says, oh, I'm tired of looking at that coffin. We ought to bury them bones. And they'd say, but no, Joseph's told us, God will surely visit you. So the next generation comes up and they go, that box of bones. And they said, but Joseph said, God will surely visit you. Hey, every generation, can you imagine as that thing went on, the big question mark they had, and all they could hold on to was the promise, God will surely visit you. Amen. Hey, when Moses led them out of Egypt, guess what they toted with them? They toted that box of bones, carried it around another 40 years. And Moses said, God will surely visit you. Hey, you know what happened to them?
They buried those bones over on the other side. Why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. Well, notice the last thought in this thing. Not only do they testify of the brevity of life, something's going to get you. Listen to me. Something's going to take you out. They testify to the trials of life. There will be hard times. They testify of the faithfulness of God. But also those bones testify of our need of God. It's just a box of bones. Are you listening? It's just a box of bones. Nothing it can do on its own. Amen. Just a box of bones. It's pictured in Ezekiel's prophecy. The valley of dry bones. There in Ezekiel 37, where those bones, it was a dry place. It was a dead place. It was a divided place. It could have been a Baptist church. Humor helps. Laugh with me. Amen. No, seriously though. God looked at Ezekiel and asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And I think Ezekiel was a Baptist preacher because he said, only thou knowest, God. Only you know. Hey, those bones couldn't come together. There was nothing they could do until God blew in. When God blew in, are you listening? Business picked up when God blew in. The toe bone got connected to the foot bone. The foot bone got connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone got connected to the foot leg bone. Are you listening to me? Hey, skin formed on them bones. God breathed life into them bones. When it happened, when God blew in. When God blew in. What are you saying? I'm saying we won't see anything happen this week. All we are is a box of dead bones. I don't care who sings. I don't care who preaches. I don't care who does what. If God doesn't blow in, there won't be anything happening this week. We've got to have God. We've got to have God. We've got to have Him. Amen. We've got to have Him this week. Hey, we need Him to blow in. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if God blew in? There was a time when Dr. Cheney preached here that, hey, God did blow in. Amen. God did blow in. Hey, I've been here where they've run up the trees. I've been here where preachers' wives have gotten saved. Amen. I've been here when God's done. I remember one year from June to August, it's like it never cut off. God blew in. God blew in. Hey, that's what we need this week. We need God. We need Him to blow in. We need to see great things happen. Amen. Hey, but it won't happen unless God blows in. We've got to have Him, friend. We've got to have Him. Just remind you of that first point. Oh, listen to me. If you're here unsettled about eternity, oh, don't put it off. You can say, I'm young, I'm healthy, I've got plenty of time. You don't know how long you've got, friend. Our days are numbered. Jesus is coming. The death angel's working. Hey, you need to get it settled before it's too late. Let God have His way. The good news is Jesus saves sinful men. Hallelujah. I'm done. Amen. Amen.